Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Paul has a long prayer for the Colossians, beginning in verse 9. And when he gets to verse 12, he says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Giving thanks, this verse 12, Colossians 1:12, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Verse 13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." And remember, that word "translated" is also spoken of Enoch. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He was not, for he was translated, for God took him. And what that says is Enoch was walking on the earth with God, and in his 365th year, the Lord just took him from here and took him to heaven. He translated him into heaven. And so when the Bible says, "hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son," there are two kingdoms that are on this earth working simultaneously. One is under the power of darkness, and the other is an inheritance of the saints in light. That's the kingdom of God into which we were born when we were born again. And so he took us out of one and put us into the other as soon as we were born again. And that's a tremendous thing. So tonight what we're going to talk about is that we want to talk about some of the spiritual applications we find in the Bible to this darkness and this light, and see how that applies to us. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful tonight to be here. And we are thankful, you know, for the testimonies that were given tonight. A man called into work, supposedly a fire, but no bad thing happened. Grateful for that, Father. Storm coming onto the coast of North Carolina, family members protected. Very grateful for that, Father. I'm thankful, Father, that all that traveled here this morning and this afternoon have come and gone safely, and that we're here together, Father, to rejoice. So thankful for that, and thankful, Father, for, you know, the good testimonies of the work that you do in our lives. Now tonight, Father, we've come together just like we did this morning, and our desire is to hear from you. Now, Father, looking at the text tonight, there are some very interesting things. But Father, there are some applications tonight that you want to make in our lives. There are some things you want to say to us tonight that are going to be very helpful in our lives to keep us filled with that light of the kingdom into which we are born, that to help us not to be overtaken or consumed or drawn back into darkness. But we surely need your instruction tonight. We need your understanding. We need your power. We need your guidance. We need your leadership. We need your filling. Because, Father, otherwise what we hear may be interesting, but it may not accomplish anything in our lives. And so, Father, we're not coming tonight simply to be educated, to gain some knowledge, although that's good. Father, we've come for wisdom and understanding and instruction, help and guidance, correction and reproof, even rebuke, Heavenly Father. Our desire is to be conformed to your image through the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. And in order for that to happen, Father, we need to understand what happened when we got saved and what's going on around us even while we're saved, and what's going on in the lives of those that are lost, and what could happen, you know, Father, if we're not careful about these matters, to stay in as much light as we can. So we pray, Father, you'll help us with that tonight, for we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this lesson, we are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light because we've been translated and we've been delivered from the power of darkness. So it helps us to go back then and look at what life was like before we were saved. And if you were saved at a very young age, then your familiarity with the darkness that was in your life is pretty minimal, because it never really produced much. It never drew you into much wickedness. But if you were saved a little later in life, or if you were saved earlier and took a detour off into darkness and came back, man, you really know profoundly the difference between what's going on in the power of darkness and what's going on in the power of light. And there's a vast difference. Before a man gets saved, he walks in darkness. Or before a person gets saved, she walks in darkness. Because the way of the wicked is as darkness. So let's look at some references tonight. Go back to Proverbs with me, to Proverbs chapter 4. You know, consider this, Proverbs 4 verse 19, Proverbs 4 19 says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." When you are associated with people, perhaps co-workers, perhaps family members, friends and acquaintances, or a neighbor, or you know what, or maybe you're listening to something, you hear somebody make a statement in the source of the news that you listen to or whatever, you think, how could anybody be, you'll say it, how could anybody be so blind? How could anybody be so foolish? When they're under the power of darkness, they have no light. They know not at what they stumble. And before we were saved, that's exactly the condition that we found ourselves. Look in Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 2 at verse 13. And verse 13 is in this context where Solomon is explaining the necessity of us receiving God's words, hiding His commandments, applying our hearts to understanding and gaining this wisdom and walking in the fear of the Lord. Because he says, verse 10, Proverbs 2:10, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things." Watch the darkness in verse 13. "Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness." To walk in the ways of darkness. Darkness, then, you know, darkness, spiritually speaking, is a property all completely and separate from light and God. You know, we get the idea sometimes that when we talk about the principles of light, I'm talking about now, like you see and hear, that they'll say darkness is the absence of light. But I don't think that's right. I think darkness has a place, according to Job. Light dwells in a place, according to what you read in Job. God is light, in Him is no darkness at all, and yet He dwells in the thick darkness, we read in 1 Kings chapter 8 when Solomon makes his dedication of the temple, and in Psalm 18 when we read the great passage concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when somebody's under the power of darkness, it is a supernatural problem in their lives that draws them in and keeps them in and separates them from light. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, show it to you again. When confronted with Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, there were men that did not receive Him. Many turned Him down. I suppose more turned Him down than received Him. For sure. I mean, if He preached all over Israel and there were only 120 people up in that upper room after His ascension, then you know a great many more turned Him down than took Him. And of course, not all that were saved were in that upper room. I understand that. He appeared to above 500 witnesses at one time, Paul tells us. But listen, John chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light." Why? Because their deeds were evil. Because their deeds were evil. So what you've got is you've got a situation here. You got a situation here where when before a person is saved, they don't have any light in them. They're wicked and walk in darkness. They leave any paths of uprightness that they had and walk in darkness, and they love darkness. Tonight, there are going to be some men and women in this town that are going to commit sin. And they're going to go to dark places to do it. You think, that's a strange thing. I realize we're talking about spiritual darkness here, but it's an interesting thing that people choose darkness to cover themselves and hide their sin. Now, when a lost person's life ends on this earth, they die. Eventually, you know where they end up? Turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. You know where they end up? They end up in a place called outer darkness. There's three times in the book of Matthew you find this. I'll show you one of them. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12, the children of the kingdom, he's talking to Israel now, and he's talking specifically to those that reject him. The children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, you know, eventually we find that people wind up in the lake of fire. Right? That must be an unusual fire. Because if you wind up in outer darkness, but you're burning forever in the lake of fire... Have you ever been around Chem Lab where they had to put signs up on certain burners to let you know the burner was on because you couldn't see it? It's that kind of thing. They're cast into outer darkness, and why? They rejected the light of Jesus Christ, who was their only way out of darkness. Jesus Christ said, "While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." In John chapter 8, verse 12, he said, "I am the light of the world." Well, you know, we have angels. Some of those are fallen angels, right? You may wonder, what happens to fallen angels? Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. If men are cast into outer darkness and burn in a lake of fire, what happens to the fallen angels? Well, bad things, you're sure, but notice the connection to darkness. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment," and then continues on with the context. So fallen angels are cast down to hell and delivered into chains of darkness. Look in Jude 6, you're nearby. Jude has just passed that one chapter right before the book of Revelation. Jude 6. "The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day." Darkness, darkness, darkness. Verse 13. Speaking of the spots in verse 12, "They are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots." That doesn't sound real good, does it? Verse 13, "Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." So there is a place of darkness. There are chains of darkness. It's under darkness. The blackness of darkness. Aren't you glad you got saved? That he took you out of the power of darkness? This is a terrible situation here. A drastic situation. And darkness, we know, is connected with those devils. It's connected with these raging waves of the sea. Look at Revelation 16. You're near enough to that. Darkness is connected with the Antichrist's kingdom. The kingdom of the beast is going to be full of darkness at some time during the tribulation. Revelation chapter 16, verse 10. Revelation 16:10, "And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. and they gnawed their tongues for pain. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of Pharaoh. It reminds me of Egypt. When Moses was bringing those plagues upon the Egyptians, at some point God severed Israel from Egypt, and the plagues then hit Egypt but didn't hit Israel in the land of Goshen. And one of those plagues right before the death of the firstborn was darkness. Exodus chapter 10 verse 21, and that darkness was so thick, the Bible says it could be felt. Have you ever been, has anybody ever gone spelunking? That's not picking up tin cans on the side of the road to try to get the recycle deal. Spelunking. You know what it is, right? Going through caves. Back when I was in high school, we did some spelunking. I came from Texas. You want to go spelunking? I was like, no, it doesn't sound good to me. You know, don't want anything to do with that. They told me what it was, and so I did. We had carbide lamps. We had helmets. We had carbide lamps. Does anybody know what a carbide lamp is? Some of you know. There was water in the upper container, and then there's carbide rocks in the lower container, and the water drips and produces a gas that's flammable, and you light it, and you have a reflector on the front of it, and that's how you see when you go through the cave. Well, at some point, you have to reload because all the rocks have then been, they're wet, and so you have to reload and get some fresh rocks in there, and you take turns doing that. Well, at one point, we all kill the light, and man, I'm going to tell you something. When you are down in the earth in a cave, nowhere near the entrance or nowhere in an exit, it is dark and it is in your face. It's a darkness that can be felt. And I can't imagine being under that kingdom when that fifth angel comes in and that thing is full of darkness. It's so dark like it was in the kingdom with a Pharaoh, and so dark in the Antichrist kingdom that it's like you can be felt or like you're down in a cave and there is no way to bring light to it. So the physical evidence of darkness that we see here compared with the spiritual darkness that we were in before we got saved is very, you know what it is? It's very revealing. You talk to somebody out there that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ and you start speaking to him, you think it's easy to just come say, come now, let us reason together. And they're going to somehow just want to gravitate to Jesus Christ. It's not that easy, not when they are deep in that darkness and perhaps desiring that darkness because their deeds are evil. Well, thankfully, turn to Acts chapter 26. When we got saved, Acts chapter 26, God took us out of that darkness, not only now, but in the future. We won't be there ever, thankfully. We have inherited light. Acts chapter 26, Paul is talking about his ministry. He's talking about what he was called to do. And in verse 15, I said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee. In verse 16, he says, for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes, watch it, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Turn them from darkness to light. That was Paul's commission. And from, he says, the power of Satan unto God. Well, what is Satan's power? What is Satan's position as it concerns darkness? Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. You see, this is Satan's kingdom when you start talking about this darkness. In Ephesians chapter 6, you read about the whole armor of God and what it's for. It is so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil, according to Ephesians 6:11. Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. So the darkness that is here has rulers over it. And the chief ruler over that darkness is the devil. You see, the difference between the devil and the Lord is very simple. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all, but this darkness has rulers, and the chief ruler is the devil. So He says, I'm going to turn them from darkness to light, from Satan to God. God and light are synonymous. Darkness and the devil are synonymous. What a relief not to be under that anymore. Colossians 1:13, the verse we read when we started, He translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. He took us out of the darkness, delivered us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, I know we're looking at a lot of references tonight, but you may not realize as you read your Bible, there's so much on this one subject, and we're not going to exhaust it tonight. 1 Peter chapter 2, a look at verse 9. You're saved, so you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. That's true. Amen. That you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So you say, is this message, we're just going to go from verse to verse till we end up exhausting all the verses? Well, we may, but I think we could stop right here and make a point. The point is simply this. If Paul's commission was to preach to them so that they could come out of darkness into light and turn from Satan unto God, and you and I are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood and a holy nation and a peculiar people, that you and I should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Verse 10 says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. What should we be doing? Show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What should we be doing? We should be giving a little light to some people that are in darkness to help them find their way out of it too. Right? Chosen generation, peculiar people, royal priesthood, holy nation. We should be taking this light that we have. Listen. If that light in you is marvelous light, and it is, and we are in darkness, because this world is in darkness and God is light, there ought to be something about our testimony, and there ought to be something about our witness that gives light to other people who are in darkness. Just, you know, I think we do more than just shine as lights. Somebody says, you know, you just live it and people will see it and come gravitating to Jesus Christ. I've never seen that. I live it and they run. But the light that's in us can be used to help them. Look at it again. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So what should we do? Because we've been we're in this kingdom and we've inherited this light. What should we do? Well, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, beginning with verse, let's just look at verse 4. Or verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is Him to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So He's engulfing them in darkness, so that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, doesn't shine unto them. For verse 5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that's Genesis 1:3, let there be light, For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So there's light in us that God wants to shine so that others who are in darkness can find Jesus Christ. And we recognize we have an adversary who's trying to blind them so that they don't see it. You're like a lightning bug. Yeah? Darkness falls, kick your light on. Like that. So that people can see it. So what's the first thing? Now that we've been translated into this kingdom of light, or into His glorious light, or into His marvelous light, let your light shine. Let your light. Turn it on. Turn it on. Let it shine. What's that children's song, Let It Shine? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Yeah. There's something to that. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine. Send the shine, right, Kelly? Yes, sir. You betcha. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Don't be afraid to let it shine. Listen. If you're in a storm and all the power went out and you couldn't find your way out of a building that was about to collapse, and somebody came in there with a flashlight and found you and showed you the way out, you'd be very grateful they turned that light on. Yeah, you know, it's hard. Listen. When you come to somebody who's steeped in darkness, you know what it's like when you let your light shine? It's like they're asleep at 3 o'clock in the morning and you just turn the ceiling light on. They're not happy about it. Right? Turn that light off! I'm trying to get some sleep around here. But boy, if that light leads them out of the darkness they're in into the light that you and I are in, they'll look at you later and say, you know, I didn't like that when that light first came on. I'm sure glad you showed up. Thank you very much for showing me the way to Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. You know what then we're supposed to do? We're supposed to walk as children of light. That's the second thing. To see this, so there are children of the night and there are children of the day, and we are, I mean, some of them live next door to you, so you work with some of them, some of them are your family members, some of them are your friends, or you know, you're associated with them in some way, you know them. It's like you come from two different, completely different families. You are children of the day, they are children of the night. And so he says, but you better don't sleep. Be sober. Why? Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 6. 8 is where we're heading. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness. Is that true of anybody in here? Amen. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and faith, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Watch it, verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So here's the second thing. You're children of the day. Walk in the day. They're children of the night. Don't walk in the night with them. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Keep your finger right here, because we're coming back, and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll come right back to this, but we want to see it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 14. Second Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Listen, the thing that has tripped up Christians, so our first point is, let that light shine so that people that are in darkness can find their way to Jesus Christ. Preach the gospel, because the devil's trying to blind them with that darkness. As God commanded the light out of the darkness, so he has shined that light in our hearts. Okay? That's the first. The second thing is, don't fellowship with that darkness. You. There's a difference between being unequally yoked together and making a friend with somebody that's in your family or neighborhood or coworker that you might be used by God to lead them to Jesus Christ. Those are two different things. When you have a friendship with somebody that God can use to help you lead them to Jesus Christ, then you're not unequally yoked. You're being used by God in that capacity to preach the gospel. And so he says, be good to all men. But boy, when you are unequally yoked together so that you are trying to have fellowship with that darkness, that's not going to work. That doesn't work. You know what happens? You start walking as children of the night. Now, I've got personal experience with that, but I just want to say to you, I don't know, I'm looking around here, and there's a lot of people here tonight, and they're all different kinds of ages, and don't know what you do when you're not here. But I want to say this to you. Tonight, as we're preaching this message, the Holy Spirit is making application in your lives to what you're hearing. Perhaps you've been encouraged tonight that you got to flip that light on. There's some people that don't know the gospel that know you. Okay? That'd be a good thing. But also, it may be tonight that you are walking in some fellowship with children of darkness. And I'm going to tell you what that does. That it is going to draw you out of the light and back into the night. It just does. It just does. And so what you say, what do I do? You have to cut off all avenues of darkness in your life. Now we're not all built the same. You can flip your Bible back over to Ephesians chapter 5. We're not all built the same. And so some of us can tolerate things a little better than other people can tolerate things. Okay? I understand that. So I'm not going to make a blanket statement here that applies to every single person in this room the same way. But may I tell you something? There is a lot of darkness in your television. There really is. A lot of darkness in there. And so all that advertising and all that content, you've got to be real careful with that as a child of light. Because you got to recognize if there's anything in that is pulling me back to the night, to be concerned about the things that are in the night, or to lust after things that are in the night, or to fellowship with things that are night, I can't go there. Internet, computers, cell phones, all these access. All of these access things that are going on in the world. And this world is in darkness. And they can take your heart out of the light. Now, you'll hear me say from time to time, I hate to even give a personal illustration here, but maybe it's helpful to you. You know, when you're exposed to some night from the world, your eyes become sensitive to the light too. And so what happens is that if you have had a fellowship with the night and then you come back to the light of the Word of God, it's too bright for your eyes. Your body is already, you are already getting darkness. If your eye is not single, then your body is full of darkness. You're already getting darkness in you. And I guarantee you, people who set their Bibles down and go whole hog back into a life of sin did it because they started getting more exposure to the night and their eyes were having to squint to handle the light of the Word. It was uncomfortable to them. It was abhorrent to them. the deeds became more and more evil. So the second thing is, don't have fellowship with the night, with the darkness, with the children of night. You know, there is a danger. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. There's a danger that a lot of people are not aware of concerning light and darkness. So what is the devil? He's the chief ruler of the rulers of darkness, right? His kingdom is darkness, right? He's going to end up in outer darkness. And all of his angels that have fallen are reserved in chains of darkness, and they'll spend an eternity under darkness, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 is where we want to start, but look at verse 12 for the context. What I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they may glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of what? Light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You know what's happened? Satan has infiltrated churches. Some of us grew up when we were children, in churches that preached the gospel the way you hear it preached today, here. And they preached the truth the way that you hear it. And I'm not holding us up as an example. All we're doing is preaching it like they used to. People say to me, you know, boy, the traditional type churches are dwindling in numbers. I said, you know why? They quit preaching the Bible. The reason people are coming here is because you want to hear the Bible. Now it's a novelty. But the devil and his ministers have infiltrated pulpits. If you go back if you go back 100 years ago, and you just consider South Texas, a lot of these communities, people in the area still know the communities by the names of the communities, but if you drive there today, you may see one or two houses, maybe a few more. Around Beeville, there was Cady's, and there was the Almas community, and there was the Candless community, and things like that. So you go over there today and look around, you're not going to see a sign that says, because the population would be three. But back in those days, there were Methodist churches there, and there were Baptist churches there. And whenever they brought in an evangelist for the Methodist church or the Baptist church, all the people would go. Because what they heard was the same. The only difference between them is Methodists believe that you had to live it in order to keep it, and Baptists believe once you had it, you'd never lose it. But everything else was the same. And man, they preached it hard, and they preached it hot, and they preached it heavy. I told y'all one time about, I'm looking at him, initials were C.A. I'll think of his last name in a minute. Anyway, he was foreman on one of the ranches over there, and as an old man, he was walking in the street one day, and I walked up to him and asked him about his soul, and he said, you know something, let me tell you a story. He said, I was in Cuero when they had a protracted meeting. You know what a protracted meeting is? That means they brought the evangelist in for a week, and the meeting was so good, and the Spirit of God was moving so heavy, they just kept it going. They protracted it. He said that thing went on for about 3 weeks, and he said, I got saved there. I was a teenager. I got saved there, and he said, man, that was the greatest thing in my life. And so at the end of that meeting, the Baptist church, the Methodist church got together and just divided up the people. And they said, do you want to be a Baptist? Do you want to be a Methodist? He said, that year we had a drought. And he said, they did all the baptizing in the stock tank, and there was about that much water in there. And I looked at that, and I said, I think I'll be a Methodist. Sprinkled him. Don't dunk me in there. But he said, but I'm saved. They preached it like that. They're not preaching it that way today. No, if you go to, today, I'm not all, but if you go to most Methodist churches today, you won't hear the truth preached. Not today. Not even mentioned sometimes. What happened? Satan transformed himself into an angel of light. Well, don't think it can just happen to them. Because the people that it happened to had faith in the Bible when it happened to them, just like we've got faith in the Bible. You got to remember, you have an adversary who has transformed himself into an angel of light, and his ministers of righteousness. What you've got to do, you cannot let yourself be fooled into accepting darkness for light. Amen. Let your light shine. Don't fellowship with darkness, and guard your light. I'm thinking about your children. I'm thinking about your children too. You got to keep that light. Listen, look at Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. You got to guard the light that you've got. Let me ask you something. Isaiah chapter 5. I realize that some of you may still be using a newer Bible. The conviction we have about the King James Bible hadn't quite come to you yet. But I want to ask you something. If you know this, that the devil has infiltrated pulpits and infiltrated translation committees, do you not realize that he got into a lot of the translation committees of modern Bibles to turn down the light? He really did. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Listen, everything in our world is topsy-turvy now. You are the bad guy if you love Jesus, believe His words, and you're straight. And you believe in traditional marriage. You're the bad guy. You're the wicked one. You're the hater, right? So you have to be very, very careful that when there is radiant, bright light coming from the pages of that book in your lap right now that you love and study and read and cherish, don't you ever let anybody replace this with darkness. They put darkness for light. And when that happens, what happens is the eye is no longer single. Remember that? Remember what Jesus said? If your eye be single, your whole body be full of light. If your eye is evil, then your whole body is full of darkness. And how great, if that light that be in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Man, you got to really be careful. And I'll tell you what. The connection to your light, the sustenance for your light, is right here in your lap. Psalm 119, verse 130. Psalm 119, verse 130. It's right here in... how many of y'all... You don't need to raise your hands. It's a rhetorical question. Probably everybody in here over 5 years old have a cell phone. I got one right here. Yeah. how did we survive 20 years ago without one of these? Life was beautiful back then. You got a cell phone. You know what you're going to do tonight or may have done? You're going to recharge it. Right? You're going to plug it into a power supply. And you're going to recharge the battery in that so that you can walk around with it in your pocket away from the power supply and it'll have power. And tonight, or whenever you do, you're going to plug it back in until that battery is fully charged again. Right? Because you don't want to miss a call or a text, right? Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. You know what you need to do every day with your spirit? You need to recharge. You really got it. You got to recharge. You got to plug in. You say, well, how much Bible reading should I do? Until you're fully charged. Read your heart. And if it's still blinking and the little lightning thing is there, you're not fully charged. Keep reading. And when you're fully charged, then you'll be able to go out and you'll be able to walk through this darkness without being overtaken by the darkness. You'll have enough light in you so that the little light of the devil won't even be evident to the amount of light that you have in you. You'll say, oh, I recognize that light. It's the wrong light. And you'll be shining bright enough so other people you talk to can say, man, there's some light in you. I still remember distinctly. There was a fellow in my office one day, and he came in and he wanted to know about the gospel. He had responded to an invitation, and so he came to my office to see me. And when we went through the gospel, I kid you not, he said to me, I have heard people try to explain the gospel to me before, but I didn't get it. He said, but today it is just like somebody walked into a dark room and flipped the light on. I see it just as clear as day. That's what he said. When Angel got saved in Robstown after we led her mother to the Lord, 2 weeks later when we visited with her, she said to her mother after she got saved, she said, Mom, did you see that? And her mother said, what? She said, you know, it was dark in here. Did you not notice that? She said, but it's like after I received Jesus, it's like it's brighter in here. Did you see that? Well, it nothing happened in the room. What happened was inside of her. And things did come on. Well, those are beautiful things, but I'll tell you what, you're not going to be able to do well in this darkness. You're not going to be able to do well shining that light. You're not going to be able to do well as that peculiar people if your battery is low. Got to be fully charged. I suppose everybody that's old enough to be saved in here tonight is saved. It may be that you're not saved. May I tell you something? You're in darkness. You're following the ruler of darkness. And you're going to wind up in outer darkness. Period. End of story. That's your life. You say, well, I don't want that. Good. Then receive Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Get into the light of these words and find out what it is to be in the kingdom of His dear Son. It is a total, you're translated right now into light. Right now. Well, stay charged up, plug in and get fully charged, and then go shine. Amen. Father, thank you so much tonight for a very simple instruction from the words of God on a simple doctrine. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You will help us immensely not to fellowship with darkness and be engulfed in it, but to walk in darkness and to reprove the works of darkness and to be fully charged every day by Your words for Jesus' sake. Amen. 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 I just realized something right before you take us. I told you go back to Ephesians 5 and I never told you what that was for. That's okay. Come on up here. When your light's shining, you know what it does? It reproves the workers of darkness. And that's what you're supposed to do. Amen.